I asked the Lord, if you want me to say something tonight, to share, give me confirmation. And I was in the bathroom. There's a sign up there, and I was reading it. And it said something like about the daughter, and I will go before you. That was the first one. And then when the brother mentioned, you know, that he wanted me to have my freedom, that was the second one. And I appreciate the songs that young people sing. It's so inspiring. It encourages me, brother, to see the young people move out, not just sit and warm the benches, and work for God. I have a message tonight that I have preached before, not here. So, but I believe the Lord wants me to share it with you all, and I need your prayers. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come to you again before the throne of God with just your unprofitable servant. But you promised to go before us, Lord, and we're taking you at your word. Keep us through this night. Guide the words, anoint, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some people will say, well, it's not Easter. Why are you preaching about Easter? But this is what God has given me to give to others. I need someone to write on the board, and I also need a songbook. And I didn't think to bring one up. Thank you.
On the right side?
We'll start with Isaiah 53 and 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then we're going to go to Isaiah 26 and 12. And I would be so thankful if I could have somebody help me read.
Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us.
I thought the title of this message is Thy Will Be Done. And we want to look at what Jesus did. He ordained peace. And the peace that we experience in our walk with the Lord was because of Jesus and the suffering that he did for us. Luke 19:41 and 42.
And when he was come near
he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.
I just kind of imagine Jesus looking at the city, Jerusalem. But he was thinking about how that he had come to give them peace. And they didn't, their eyes were blinded. And today I believe that Jesus looks over our countries, our cities, and he sees that if only you can recognize the peace that you could have in me. What I have sacrificed. This time he was going to sacrifice, but it now he has done it. And he's done everything that we might have peace, that we might have salvation. But there are many people whose eyes are blinded. Sometimes my heart goes out when I look around me and I see people going their own way. And I have a sadness in my heart. I have joy and peace in my soul, but I'm sad for people that don't really realize the value of salvation. Some of them are so deep in sin and have habits that's controlling them, and their lives are full of despair. But they could have peace in Christ if they only knew, if they only could just taste. Once scriptures say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But we as his people, we need to not allow ourselves to forget what Jesus has done for us. And so we want to read what Jesus went through that we might have this great peace. Let's go to Romans 5 and 1.
Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Peace through Jesus. What a blessing. How he went through a lot. But we thank God that he was willing to take that bitter cup that we might be saved, that we might have peace, that we might be reconciled to God. Now let's think about the sacrifice he made. We will be reading a lot in Matthew, the 26th chapter, so we want to start there in verse 36. I may get emotional because when I read the account, it doesn't get old to me, and I tend to get emotional. So bear with me. In 36.
And saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. How far would you like me to read?
26 to 46.
Okay. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh.
Hold just a minute. You see, his soul was sorrowful unto death. Sometimes, when you think about it, we have things to go through. We might have an affliction on our bodies, but we don't know the full extent of what's ahead. We might know this thing causes this and this might happen, but Jesus knew. At this point, he was feeling, and he knew what he was facing. He knew the crown of thorns was going to be there. He knew the agony that he was going to feel. So that's why he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. That's a depth of sorrow that he felt even before he actually went through it. Read on.
And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done.
He said, thy will be done. You know, he knew he came into this world for this hour. But when he started into this, he felt like if it was any way possible that I could not drink this cup, let it pass from me.
Amen.
But he submitted.
Right.
For you and for me. He submitted to the Father's will for each of us. You don't.
And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.
Now I want you to think a minute. Jesus suffered pain on many levels. And here the first one was he had his three disciples, and Peter was very an outspoken person. Seemed like he was so dedicated to him. But he had to do Gethsemane alone, even though they were there. They couldn't stay awake. He didn't have that support. Sometimes when we are going through a death in the family, for instance, it's a consolation to have somebody there just with you, staying up with you when you feel like you can't sleep, or trying to give you comforting words. But he had to do it alone. Even the ones that he could depend on were not able to be dependable at that time. And so he felt pain on that level. Now, I want us to sing this song, 263, together, because it brings out the feelings that Jesus had at this time. And I hope you all have patience with me, because I really can't rush through this message. It's just so much.
Gethsemane.
That, but I tell you, Jesus went through it all. He was innocent. We have the guiltless dying for the guilty. He did nothing wrong. But he was willing to sacrifice his life for us. Let's read on. We'll go to verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whom I shall kiss, that shall he, that is he. Hold him fast. Innocent. An innocent man. No violence in him. Gentle. But hold him fast. Like he was a criminal. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend. He called him friend. And he knew he was betraying him. Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. And struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12,000 legions of angels? He had those 12 legions of angels at his disposal right then in the garden. He could have said, I can't do it, but he submitted to his will. He said, not my will but thine. But at this point he also had the legions of angels that he could have called. He could have said, I can't do this. And somebody mentioned that if he had called the legions of angels, then maybe God would just say it's over and just annihilated everybody, just gave up on mankind. Yeah. Could have been, but he didn't. Let's read on. I need somebody to help me.
Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Okay. There we have another pain in his heart, no doubt. All the disciples fled. Oh, these are my right-hand men. These are the hand-picked, and so was Judas, one of his picked disciples. But it didn't stop there. Let's read. We're going to read verse 57 to 68. He was taken to the religious leaders. There he endured the grief, being falsely accused and shame of them spitting in his face. He endured so much grief and so much pain on so many levels.
And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?"
Okay, stop a minute. Blasphemy. This is the Son of God, and he's being accused of blasphemy. What? That, no doubt, when they said those words, I can imagine it's like a dart went in his heart. He suffered this for you and for me. And he did it willingly. He was willing to go through this for us. And Peter, we'll skip some of the reading. Peter, his right hand man, so to speak, the one that said, "Though all men forsake you, I won't forsake you." And here they went and the damsel came to him and said, "You're one of them." He denied that he was one of them. And in one verse he said, "I know not the man." And then he denied him three times and said, started cursing and swearing. And I think in one of the scriptures it said Jesus looked at him. I wonder what went through his mind. Maybe he might have thought, I knew this was going to happen, but it hurt. Don't you know it hurt him? His right hand man, cursing and swearing, "I don't know you." Then he was taken to Pilate. 27. And we'll start at the 11th verse, chapter 27.
And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly.
Okay, and then we'll go down to verse 22.
Start at 22?
22 to 25.
Okay. Pilate saith unto him, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children.
So you see, even Pilate, even though they took him to him, he realized that he was innocent. And in one scripture, it says that he realized that they, for envy, had brought him to him. And then we went on. He decided to choose. It was a feast or something. So he said, well, I will, present Barabbas, which was a notorious man, and or Christ. Which one would you rather have, Barabbas or Christ? And they said Barabbas. They were willing to take this man that was notorious, he was awful, into their community and have Christ, the innocent man, crucified. Let's go on. We're going to go now to hold on just a minute. 20, go on with 26. No, I want to skip that.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him and took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify
him. Okay, stop him. Just a minute. Let's talk a little bit about this crown of thorns. If you put your hand on your head, forehead, you're not going to feel a lot of flesh there. So, recently, I had a real bad toothache. It was real bad. It was at my bottom tooth. And the pain went all through my jawbone. And it was so bad. And I called for prayer. It was so bad. It was like, I can't, it's like death could come upon you. It just was that kind of pain. And I thought of Jesus and how when they put that crown of thorn and that was hitting, it didn't hit like into much flesh. It hit into the bone. And I can imagine the pain of the nerves running around his head, and it probably went sensations, I imagine, through his body from the pain. And they were doing it mercilessly, beating it on. They didn't just put it on there. They beat it on his head. And he suffered that for you and for me. Let's read on.
And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink.
And they crucified him. Verse 35.
And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.
All right, stop just a minute. I want us to think about what it felt like for him to be crucified. Now, in order for them, they didn't nail him up already. No doubt the cross was laying down, and they nailed the nails through his hands and feet. But the problem is, you know, it's going to be a lot of pain just having the nails driven. But when they set that up, the weight of his body, no doubt, pulled on those nails, sending a sensation, pain all through his body. And then, no doubt, when they put it in that hole, they didn't just gently do it. No doubt, they just put it hard in there. And so the pain that he felt wrapped all over his body. You can imagine what he felt at that moment, at that time. So we want to go on to the last thing, the last part. He felt physical pain. No doubt he felt emotional pain. Think about it. He saw his mom there. Can you imagine what he felt? The pain he knew that she was feeling watching him gave him more pain. And so he told one of his disciples, "Behold your mother. Mom, behold your son." The physical, the emotional pain he felt. And then, let's see. Let me go to it. Hold on just a minute. Let's go to the 44th verse.
The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth.
So we know in one scripture, one of the thieves said, "If you be the Son of God, get yourself down and us." And the other one said, "Man, don't you fear God? We deserve, in other words, what we're getting. This is an innocent man." And he asked him, "Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom." That's in another. And so God, Jesus, had compassion on him and said, "This day, I think, or this night, which one, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's read verse 45.
"Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
This was a feeling of being alone, feeling as if God himself had forsaken him. That was I might could get by with my friends forsaking me. I might could get by with my family forsaking me. But when it looks like God has forsaken me, that is the highest level of feeling alone. And so I think about it. God probably, this is where I look at it, God probably backed up and allowed, had to back up, so to speak. "This is my son. But I have to back up and let him go through this for you and for me." He allowed that. But we know, and as we read the last of it, we can feel the feeling that God must have felt when this happened. Because things in the elements began to happen.
Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man called for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink.
So let's read the 50th verse.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
And read on.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
So you see, I believe God, knowing, seeing that, he allowed the elements to, you know, fail. And in one scripture I think he said it was dark from the sixth to the ninth hour or something like that. So we can see what we benefit, but what Jesus went through when he said, "Thy will be done." He did it all for the Father's will, for us. And the last thing I want us to do is to sing the song, "Thy Will Be Done," in the songbook. It's, let me see. 152.
By Kedron's side, o'er olive's brow, and through that gleam, methinks I see a lowly form in prayer for me. The gentle tone through stately trees has filled upon the murmuring breeze. He bowed his head, God's only Son, and meekly said, "Thy will be done." In fervent prayer for you and me, he wrestled there in agony, with drops of sweat of crimson hue, his brow was wet as tears. He knelt with troubled soul, while there he fell, death's sorrows roll. Our sins he bore, the Holy One, and said once more, "Thy will." And then before
yes.
his vision came,
yes.
the crown
yes.
of thorns,
the
cruel
shame,
the
yes.
scorn of those he sought to save, the reeking cross, the this bitter cup, O Lord, I pray, before I take thou away. Yet answered still, as there he knelt, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Gethsemane, O sacred place, once more I see my Savior's face. It shines anew with glory now, and angels smooth his pallid brow. Oh, let me
His will be done in our life, since he went through so much for us. Pray for me.